Yankee Doodle went to town and riding on a pony. Took a feather in his hat and called it macaroni. Yankee Doodle picked it up, Yankee Doodle dandy. Mind the music and the step and with the girls be handy.
Pop goes the weasel.
That was interesting.
You know, I'm getting the patriotic mood. So.
That's right. It's 4th of July, if you're listening to this on the 4th of July. This year or any year, frankly. Hello and welcome to the Life in Place podcast. Today is July 4th, 2008, America's 233rd birthday.
No.
No. 32.
Yes.
232nd birthday.
Yeah.
Not bad in my head. Anyway, my name is
eight Duke. And is I two want, above six.
Shut up.
It's the septuascentennial.
Get your cupcake in a cup.
That's like Roman numerals or something. My name is Doobie, and joining me today on the podcast on my right are Captain John.
No,
they can't see. They don't know that you're actually on my left. I'm making a picture, creating a picture for them.
Which is wrong.
Captain John.
Hello.
On my real right, Rebecca, my wife.
Hello. Happy 4th.
Across from me is Fanboy with a new haircut.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I was expecting something like John Hancock, Benjamin Franklin, Gouverneur Morris.
Oh, no, I thought it was going to be Betsy Ross.
Instead, you got great moments with Mr. Lincoln. Because, you know,
I got a haircut.
Podcast, laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. That's how to reach us here on the Laughing Place podcast. Give us your opinions on whatever is on your mind in the world of Disney or... Yeah, pretty much Disney. That's what we do here.
Except Disney and The Incredible Hulk.
And, The Incredible Hulk is acceptable as well, I think.
Okay.
I have no problem with that. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, let's get started with a movie that is a Disney movie.
Came out. Do 866-718?
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, that's what led to The Incredible Hulk. Give us a call. What's on your mind? Anything related to Disney or...
You didn't give the phone number.
Why don't you?
866-718-9408, or you can email us at podcast@laughingplace.com, or leave a message on the podcast section of the discussion boards on laughingplace.com.
When I edit this later, you're going to be proven wrong, or I'm going to cut out what I just said.
then I'll post something on the Laughing Place. First, he's trying to convince you that people on the left are on the right. Then he's cutting out his errors, because you know you never cut out mine.
Actually duplicate them, copy and paste. Wally's the movie we're talking about first because it's a Disney movie and it came out last week and that's why.
Yay!
Before we get to our opinions, let's get to our predictions because we did a little Rotten Tomatoes prediction. And when I was listening to the podcast and remembered I needed to check it, I went to Rotten Tomatoes and the percentage was 97%, which is fairly good.
Especially for movie of the year.
The closest predictor of us was Rebecca, who predicted 97%.
Hooray me.
So go, Rebecca. It's your birthday.
Right on the button. The other thing we predicted was box office gross. Let's see. Fanboy said it would do better than 70.
Boo.
Rebecca and Captain John said it would do a little less than 70. And I also said it would do over 70. And it actually did 63.1, which is not bad.
But no one's winning the showcase.
But no. We didn't have a $1 here.
Oh, yeah. You're all over.
Anyway, Wally, we all got to see it, I presume, because we're...
All together when we saw it, except him.
Yeah. Except me.
When we saw it. You said all together.
Yeah. You've been trying to get that going for a few. It could take a couple more weeks till we get it part of the lexicon here.
Why don't you start off, Captain? What did you think of Wall Asterisk E?
Easily my favorite Pixar film. Yep. It was one of those things. The first half is very different from the second half, and I think I like both of them in different ways. Like the first half is more kind of silent movie. It's very relies very much on the visuals, which are beautiful. You know, Pixar is always getting better with every film. And the last one is kind of interesting with the kind of, because they always say it's not a message movie, but yet, you know, when you see the film, there's stuff going on. It's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic of this film. I think that's why I like it. It's kind of it's different from the norm.
It is easily my 7th favorite Pixar movie.
How many have they made so far?
9.
That's not necessarily very good.
No, but Pixar movies tend to be better than most. So I mean, better than like Beverly Hills Chihuahua, hopefully.
Yeah. But the interesting thing I found about when I saw Ratatouille, I came out of theaters thinking, wow, that was a great Pixar movie. And the more I think back on it, the more I don't like it. And in this case, I exited the theater thinking, wow, that was kind of bizarre. And then the more I think back on it, the more I actually like it.
I'm with you that on Captain, with you on that. My first reaction wasn't, this is good, this is bad. It was more, this is weird.
Yeah.
And I spent the day trying to figure out if I liked it or not. And I decided I will wait till I see it again. And I saw it again with you guys. And I liked it, but I couldn't say I loved it. I mean, I love Toy Story 2, and I love Monsters Incorporated. And I really like Cars, and I love The Incredibles. This one, you know, it was good. It was different. And, I, you know, difference can be good. But in the end, if you actually just go by, did I really enjoy it while I was watching it? It was good.
How about you, Rebecca?
I keep telling people it was the most beautiful and well-made film I've ever seen that I really don't have any interest in seeing again. It was nice. I enjoyed it while I watched it, but I can't see myself when I'm flipping channels and I see it, you know, on cable, which it'll be, you know, a bazillion times within, you know, a few years from now. It'll just be on all the time.
Stars Network.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why, but it didn't grab me. And so it's one of those where I think it's because it's so heavy for me. Just the whole setting. I mean, the Earth is crap, literally. It's just a pile of trash.
I'm not sure. Literally.
Okay, fine. It's a pile. It's a pile of trash. Piles
that would
and piles
be,
and
that
piles
would explain
of
why
of
the
trash.
Plant grew. It's a very good fertilizer.
Compost.
And humans have been. And oh, by the way, there's going to be spoilers since we're talking about the movie.
Austria, beware.
And humans have been reduced to, in my opinion, just existing by a large corporate entity.
I need to beg to differ. That looked like some good living to me.
So just seeing the people just kind of there, and he doesn't even really know what a book is or anything about where he came from, and he doesn't really even seem to care very much that he doesn't know where the captain, I mean, at first. He's kind of, and then he, like, begins to be interested, but at first it's like you've lived all this time and you have absolutely no interest in where your people have been or where they're going. You don't even know what your home place is. I mean, so to me it was very heavy. So when I wrote a friend and said, just a lot like when I was little, Shirley Temple films. While I loved Shirley Temple films, because they were, you know, Shirley Temple was a singer-dancer, I was a little singer-dancer.
Got a good chip.
So many of the stories are steeped in such really, really heavy, dramatic settings or stories. She's a little orphan, her mom dies horribly, you know, these kinds of things.
Seriously?
That I didn't typically watch them over and over again. I'd watch it, okay, that's fine, and then I'd move on and watch another one. I just didn't watch them over and over, and that's, for me, where this one is, too. It's just, I don't know, I can't. It's heavy.
Yeah, it didn't quite affect me the same way. I don't know if that means I'm heartless or anything, but I just didn't find...
Oh, no, I'm just easily emotionally manipulated by film. You know that.
Yeah.
You know what my biggest disappointment was?
What?
It's a movie about the Earth covered in trash, yet the trash can didn't make an appearance.
So one of our friends asked me to give my opinion of WALL-E in one sentence, and I appreciated that question because it really made me think about what I thought of the movie, and it came down to this. A decent movie that's not particularly entertaining and not worth one-tenth of the praise it's getting. And
So it's worth about 10% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, I think it's about a 9.7 is what it... No. You know, it should be a popular... It should be, you know, fresh.
Oh, exactly.
It's not... Even 97%. I mean, I can see, you know, most people liking it, certainly, but this isn't a movie where people like it. This is a movie where people are, like, you know...
Gushing.
Yeah, worshipping it.
Oh, wow, it's amazing, yeah.
And I don't get that. I thought it's not that it was decent.
Even
it was
our
even
own
good.
Reviewer Kirby gave it an A, right?
Well, what's he know? No, he no, gave no, it an A, which is a rarity.
Exactly, and he's very he tends to be very critical.
He didn't even
of film.
Give College Road Trip an A.
Oh, stop.
So, and that was I think what it the problem with me. No, well, we know what the problem with me is. The problem for me. It simply wasn't that entertaining. It was beautiful.
One problem.
Now
it was interesting. It was good, even, but it was also. Fairly boring.
But your taste has to be somewhat explained in that you don't really care for the classic Disney cartoons, which to me, in many ways, this reminds me of that. Yeah. I mean, the Mickey Mouse shorts, shorts,
no.
that are a lot of pantomime comedy, a lot of silent film type interplay.
No, but I like the classic features, not the classic cartoons.
So my question following up on that is, did you care for the first half of the film more than the second half of the film?
The first half I was thinking, I can't believe how bad this is. Now, even looking back in hindsight, it wasn't as bad as I thought at the time. But that's what I was thinking the first half. Once they actually got to the spaceship, that was interesting to me. This was something, first of all, there was a story. And it was fun and interesting. And I definitely preferred the second half to the first.
See, for me, the plot doesn't do justice to the characters. You need to have a plot. But I think Wally is adorable. I think Mo is my favorite character, just the way he reacts and interacts. And the robot, the robots.
Whoa.
Like, one little touch I didn't catch for the first time is when there's sort of that boring robot just pushing the buttons, and Wally kind of teaches it how to wave, and then when it comes back again, the robot's just frantically waving because it's so excited it can wave. And
I mean, that's the thing. You say that the first half has, you know, it's like, well, then it had a story. But the thing is, within the pantomime and everything, you just put it together. It's one of those put-together stories. Probably another reason why you hate Pirates of the Caribbean. It's the same thing.
No, okay. I hate Pirates of the Caribbean. I didn't hate Wally.
It's one of those things, like with Pirates of the Caribbean, you have the writers just throw in things, and they don't explain everything. And with that, you just kind of get a feel. It's not about what's on the screen. It's about producing the emotion on the screen. And Wally is the same kind of thing, because you've got the sort of pantomime. You have the kind of things set up, and you have your location. You have the little bits and pieces, and it's up to you to kind of put together to see, you know, where they've come.
Fair. I don't think Wally did it to the degree of Pirates, where I don't understand Pirates. They don't give me – I mean, it's one thing – Wally can figure out. It's not – doesn't take a rocket science.
Right. No, I'm just saying it's
Pirates
the same
of Caribbean
kind of...
makes no sense, and if there is a reason it makes sense, it wasn't made obvious enough.
You said weasen.
Well, the guy had a Bugs Bunny tie that with a Wasquey Wabbit. And so you get my point?
No, yeah, I get your point, but I'm also, you know, just kind of going – I mean, it makes sense why Doobie would hate it so much.
But
that's what I'm saying.
Let me give one other reason.
Doobie doesn't hate Wally.
No, I don't hate Wally by
Well, you
long
you
shot.
Hated it's, the first half.
It's
though.
No Ratatouille. I didn't hate it. I was watching it, I was hating it. In hindsight, it was better than I gave it.
You weren't hating it as much as you were trying not to fall asleep.
Yeah. Sometimes successfully. So yeah. I did not fall asleep in this, unlike Pirates 2. I do want to say one other reason I didn't enjoy it. I thought that was just one long movie.
Still going, isn't it?
I couldn't connect with robots as emotional beings. I have no problem connecting with animals
so
as emotional
funny.
Beings because they are simply anthropomorphized animals.
Yep.
But this wasn't. There are people, fully realized people, for whom these are robots, and yet these robots are supposed to be emotional, and I just could not get into that. And
that's just so
even
funny.
Though there's so much emotion in the movie, the only time I actually felt emotion towards the characters was the very, 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 very end. Then finally I got that little weird feeling you get when you're emotional. But other than that, they were just – it's metal.
That's funny.
I cannot relate to that.
That's funny, though. It's just funny how some artists are able to connect, and some people, just because of whatever their history is or whatever they bring to the story,
right.
It's just – it's not going to work with them. And there's nothing you can do about it.
No, mm-hmm. I had a brother who was a robot, and I couldn't connect
Stop.
With him either.
I grew up with, like, those stories of a robot who somehow develops – emotions. Like,
you mean Johnny Five?
Not quite human.
Oh, wait. I didn't talk about Johnny Five. We're not allowed to talk about Johnny Five.
Why not?
Oh, he has absolutely no similarities to this movie whatsoever.
Oh, that is ridiculous. I've never seen short...
You have
Dang
never...
Dang you, Bugs Bunny!
You have never seen
I've never
Short
seen
Circuit.
That movie with Johnny Five. But he does look very much like Wally.
He looks like him, but I think that's pretty much.
But, I mean, and not in a bad, like, plagiarized way.
Where it stops.
I thought he looked like Kimba the White Lion.
You know what's funny is in college, my friends got together for my birthday and surprised me with a movie night. And Short Circuit, they picked Short Circuit because I hadn't seen it. And they thought, oh, that's a Rebecca movie. She'll like that movie. And I really did. I really enjoyed Johnny Five. I cried because I cry at movies no matter what. I cried at Wally.
Die Hard.
Airplane.
No, I didn't see Die Hard and probably did cry at Airplane, for all I know.
He has a drinking problem.
But for whatever reason, for me with Wally, it was... I don't know. It was weird. You know, and probably it's just gotten to the point for me where it's Pixar. It's the computer animation thing. It keeps me at arm's length. I haven't yet been able to fully embrace.
Did you cry during the whole Dolly moments then? That wasn't computer.
I cried when I heard Michael Crawford.
I would cry at those moments, but I have a feeling if you just put on that soundtrack, I would have cried. Because I'm easily tweaked into crying by the score of a movie. It's just part of who I am. I accept it. I realize I wear long sleeves to a movie so that I can hold up my sweatshirt to my eyes so that I don't look like I'm crying. But yet, I am always tearing up in a movie.
What do you think you look like you're doing?
I don't know. Like I'm resting. I look like I'm resting.
You keep thinking that.
Okay, well, I try.
So, that was just part of the movie-going experience.
What did you guys think of Presto?
I thought it was fun. It was very Tom and Jerry, Roadrunner.
Yeah, it was Barry, Tom and Jerry.
I didn't like Presto.
I know you didn't.
You don't like
until
any
until oh. It was over, and I thought, wow, that was really clever. And then
so
I liked
funny.
It.
That's cool. I liked it. It was okay.
I liked that it was just a cartoon. It didn't try and be artsy. It was just a cartoon that ran before the feature. Yeah. Nothing, you know, you can take it or leave it, but it was fun. That's the way as cartoons are meant to be. Like Jerry's Game, I'm still not quite sure. Are there two people there? Is there one person there?
But I will say this about WALL-E. I still love WALL-E. I was worried that after the film, I might have less affinity for the character because, you know, you learn more about the character. Up until now, he's just been this little child in essence who we see exploring and learning. But now that we see the heart of the character, I love him even more. He's just very delightful. I do hope that we see him again in some other adventure. Because the character of WALL-E is just so precious.
So precious. I'm sad that there's no walk around.
Yeah, I know. They've announced now that he's not coming to Disney's California Adventure for
soon.
I think the quote was, "Don't expect him in the next couple of months."
Yeah,
maybe
and
for
then,
the DVD release.
And then we heard that his arrival here has also been postponed. We don't know any further on Walt Disney World either. But, you know, initially they were both seemed to be gearing up for it. So something happened. And that's too bad.
Before we stray too far from WALL-E, I did want to – I like numbers. So 1 to 10. Captain.
10.
Fanboy.
7.
Rebecca.
7, maybe 8.
Okay. I give it a 5.99 bar.
Okay.
Which is 6.
No. It's a bit less than 6.
No, it's not.
Infinity. In theory, it is, but to most people listening, 5.99 bar is a little less than 6.
But are we going to now talk about the rest of the movie-going experience?
No, there's one more. Popcorn or churro, I got it real quick. WALL-E or Ratatouille?
WALL-E.
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 Definitely. WALL-E.
So, before the movie, we sort of went in reverse order, but we can start back at the beginning. Movie Watcher Network. First look, Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Chihuahua.
Makes you want to see it more or less than when you just saw the teaser trailer?
I don't think I could want to see it less, but apparently I could.
I ditto that exact comment, yeah.
I think it looks cute.
I mean, okay, it's a talking animal movie. They
Thank
all have
you.
Their short, they're all kind of the same.
It, you know what? It looks more appealing to me than Racing Stripes ever did.
Whoa.
And you guys made me go see that.
Racing Stripes was 10 times the trailer. That Beverly Hills Chihuahua is.
Okay, fine.
It looks better than Charlotte's Web did.
How about you, fanboy?
I didn't see that,
yeah,
so
no,
I mean,
me
I don't like talking animal movies, but
I don't know. I really like the trailer. Chihuahua. Now I realize it has a plot. It's not going to just be chihuahuas dancing for 2 hours. So
2 hours,
maybe
that's
a little bit less. And there's just something about watching George Lucas's head on
George Lucas. There you go.
George Lopez's head on the big screen. That makes it even look bigger. And then we also got to see Disney Ghost Country with Billy Ray Cyrus singing Real Gone. Is anyone else curious as to why they are showcasing a song that has already been released on Disney Mania 6?
No, because it's Billy Ray Cyrus. I mean, that's about all you need to know. It's Miley's dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other than that, I would have a lot of questions. Why do they pick the most obscure of all the songs that they're recording on the album as far as Disney connection?
And wouldn't that already be a country song
and it wasn't
anyway?
Even, yeah, exactly. It was
good.
That's what
from,
I was thinking.
It's from
like,
Cars, right? And
yeah.
And it was done by, like, you know, a group
Rascal
like
Flat.
Rascal Flatts or something, yeah.
And then we saw a trailer for Little Mermaid 3, Ariel's Beginnings.
Oh, yeah.
Are you excited?
That looks cute.
Camping out for that one.
This will be a seminal moment in Disney film history because it's the last direct-to-DVD sequel.
And finally, we saw the trailer for...
Dun-da-da-da! Thunder!
No.
You didn't see Bolt?
No, Bolt. Not...
See, I say Thunder, you say Bolt. Thunder.
Bolt!
Thunder.
Bolt.
Okay.
I say...
No, drop it now. Just talk about Bolt.
Okay. What do you think about Bolt, speaking of Miley's dad's daughter?
Captain,
the doctor was his mother.
What do you think of Bolt?
It looks okay. It looks far better than Chicken Little. So I mean, it's one of those things that I'm not exactly, you know, queuing up for it as it were. But it looks like it'll be decent.
I hope not. It's November.
You know what I mean. It's like Chicken Little. I couldn't wait for that to just leave. And now with Bolt, it's like, you know, that looks
like
it'll be cute.
Little.
Oh
you
no,
like
I hated
Little,
Chicken Little.
I love Chicken Little.
Yeah. We like Meet the Robinsons too, didn't we?
I like quite a bit.
Meet the Robinsons was okay. Yeah.
Okay, just check.
And I like Bolt. Bolt look. I'm much more interested for Bolt than I was before. Yeah, looks good.
I am too.
It's amazing how different it looks from when it used to.
Oh yeah, drastically.
They should like call it a different name. It's like
they did.
Bolt. It was American Dog.
No, but like it was Bolt, and that didn't. Was it Bolt like as it current form? Because I know they changed the name before that too. Right, didn't they?
No.
Okay,
They may have, for all I know.
Yeah, I thought it was American Dog, then Bolt, and then Bolt, the 3D version that's completely different.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
They should change the name the third time, then, because it's that different from the last
time. All I know is I want a ball. This looks like fun running in those things.
The little hamster part running in the ball.
I'm with you.
The one weird thing for me, and this is a sign that I'm too into Disney or whatever, was that with Lilo and Stitch, there was a lot of Elvis music, and you knew there was a lot of Elvis music in it because Chris Sanders was an Elvis fan. You kept hearing those stories as the film was being made. And originally, this was called American Dog, and it was a story and characters created by Chris Sanders. And as is often the case in animation, you know, people get moved off of projects, and it becomes other people's projects, and stories get written and rewritten, and you can look at the history of Ratatouille for such examples. And in this case, Chris even ended up moving on over. I think he's over at DreamWorks now. But for whatever reason, to see Bolt on the screen, knowing that history, and hearing the Elvis music used as the soundtrack for the trailer, I found it a little off-putting. It was just kind of weird. And I'm sure it wasn't a deliberate... I'm not trying to say I think it was a deliberate slight or kind of in-your-face move, because I doubt the people who market the film even have any clue what I'm talking about. But for me, as a fan, and having met and interviewed Chris, it just kind of... So it was one of those kind of moments where I was like, well, that's kind of tacky.
It's like an unintentional slap in the face.
It just didn't play well for me because of that little reason. I just laughed. And the funny thing was after the trailer was over, Doobie turned to me. Whenever we see a film, I have very strict rules. We must sit myself, my husband, and then Fanboy. Because otherwise, when I sit in between Doobie and Fanboy, they both turn to me and whisper the same things during movies, like the same little stupid joke or the same little stupid gag from whatever film they'll recognize. They say it, and I get it in stereo, and it's annoying. So instead, I sit on the left of my husband.
I would prefer fat to sound.
So that way the two of them can share their little yucks. You know, just over there. But apparently this backfired this time as Doobie turned to Fanboy and said, "What do you think of the trailer?" And he made a comment about he thought the Elvis soundtrack was an interesting choice. And then he turned to me and said, "What do you think of the trailer?" And I said, "I was a little surprised they used Elvis music." So Doobie got to see what my life used to be like before I established these very important strict rules of movie going.
Chinese acrobats all over again.
Oh, that's right. We did that at Cirque du Soleil once.
Yes. You were going to say something. Maybe the moment's
Oh, you know, Bolt looks like an angel. Walks like an angel. Talks like an angel. He's the devil in disguise.
Sorry, I asked. In other news in the world of Disney...
Spanning the globe to bring you a constant variety of Disney.
Wow, this just burned up the lines on Friday night.
In case you didn't hear, we have a very, very sad thing to report. The death of Pleasure Island.
No, it's not dead.
The temporary death. The coma of Pleasure Island. The life support.
The quadruple bypass.
Facelift.
They're going to rebuild it, make it bigger, faster, stronger.
And it'll cost a lot more than $6 million.
They're closing.
And completely different.
The sign package alone will cost a lot.
Here's
more.
What's
going on. It cracked me up. I finally actually read the press release today that I put up without reading before.
Okay.
The press release isn't about the closing of Pleasure Island. The press release is about the revamping of Downtown Disney with one paragraph about the fact that that's the whole story to the rest of the fan community. But that just cracked me up.
Part of the problem is they didn't give a lot of specifics as to the brand new vision.
We're building
a balloon, and Haynes is going to have it.
Where do they get their Haynes on you?
Which, by the way, that Haynes isn't even part of – it's not even going to the area that is Pleasure Island. So wait, let's back up and share with you what exactly we know is happening. And what we know is happening is that they are closing the 6 clubs there at Pleasure Island.
Which are?
8 Tracks,
the 4
Mannequins,
Dance Clubs, Adventures
Motion,
Club,
Adventures Club, Comedy Warehouse, whatnot.
Cigar
Store,
the
Cigar Store, the Curl Shop, the Harley-Davidson Shop, and Raglan Road will remain open. That's what Woo-hoo. We know.
Inside the desert, yes.
We also know that the Rock and Roll Beach Club is going to be the location for a new restaurant by the E Brands Company.
Right.
And from what we've heard so far, it's a Latin flavor. Yes.
South American
flavor.
Tastes like Latin, yes.
And they're going to be bringing in some sort of balloon attraction
to
Westside.
Yeah, not to Pleasure Island. The only Pleasure Island thing you know about, correct me if I'm wrong, that's coming is the E Brands restaurant.
Well, but do you consider the at one point that the Fulton's Crab House and what used to be
Yeah, that used to be, but I don't know if
it's
still
considered. I think on the map
it's on
Pleasure.
The bridge. I mean, it's after you cross the bridge.
If it's after you cross the bridge, then by definition, it's on Pleasure.
Okay, well, it's after you cross the bridge.
The Crab House is before the bridge.
No, it's after the bridge.
So that is getting an exterior rehab, which we know Pleasure Island does oh so quickly. And
Portobello Yacht Club is getting a retheming. It's going to be more of a northern Italy experience.
And AMC will be showing new movies that week.
Now, the thing that I thought was interesting was that Portobello Yacht Club, their menu has already changed recently. We were there not too long ago, and I noticed that they had a bit of a different flavor. Yeah, we didn't bring you. I know it's sad. We're allowed to date. We're married.
It seems to me that some of the stuff they announced in this press release is coming.
Has already happened.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, the Haynes thing was not part of any brand new vision. It was part of the Haynes Strategic Alliance,
yeah,
and was announced long before this.
And what's happening with that and this area that long, long time ago was known as Disney Village, is that the scrapbooking store down there by the Art of Disney is going to become a make-your-own T-shirt location featuring Haynes.
Right.
Let me just say this, though, okay? Think of Florida weather. A big balloon going up how high?
300 feet.
300 feet in the summertime.
I think the people on the ground will feel safer about lightning strikes because they know the balloon will take care of it.
To counter that, they recently announced a very, very large Ferris wheel.
400 feet.
A giant wheel, in fact, coming to Orlando over by the convention center. So I find it very interesting that all of a sudden now Disney has announced a high aerial location as well.
Wow. If that has any relation to the timing of this,
It was only about a week. It was only about a week ago that
no,
this
was.
Other was announced. And they're talking about marketing this giant wheel to tourism and to local businesses as a place that you can have meetings. Like, because the way the ride is and the size of the cars and whatever, that you can, in essence, hold planning meetings or little board meetings or whatnot, you know, kind of in the wheel.
Hope you don't have to pee.
I know. That's what I was thinking when I read it to you, but what do I know?
I should mention, since I have the press release.
And that was just something I read on a blog or something.
There were a couple other things I mentioned. The Marketplace stage, they just...
Oh, it's getting
awning.
Wait.
That's the Marketplace stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Marketplace.
Not Pleasure Island.
Nope.
Never mind. My bad.
Yep, the one over there by World of Disney.
And but they are, as you said, covering the stage.
Yep.
Wolfgang Puck will get new interior fixtures
patio. Which Wolfgang Puck?
The new, hopefully the old one, not the one that just reopened.
What does it say, Cafe versus Express?
It says Wolfgang Puck Cafe.
Yeah, because that's the one over there by the theaters, which
had its outside enclosed already.
Yes, recently. Yes.
And Goofy Candy Company will add a new special room that will enable families to host one-of-a-kind birthday parties.
Which, I was there just about a month and a half ago, and I already saw some. I saw that already, I thought. It used to be that when you went into Goofy's, on the far side, there was this candy cane kind of room where there was here, let me explain this better. On the side closer to the water, they have beautiful glass windows that were colored with, like, you know, mm-hmm, candy colors. And that's where the registers used to be. And then the last time I went in, that was no longer the case. The registers were no longer there. They had tables set up there, and they had set up shelving between that area and the candy store itself to create kind of a room. It wasn't fully closed off as far as you could see it from the store, but I would still consider that a private room in the same way, you know, a pizza place has
whatever. A place where you could have a magical celebration.
Totally.
All right, so we've got the basics down.
That brand new vision is just so crystal clear.
Oh, yes.
First off, Pleasure Island closing. Obviously, it's not a surprise, but is this a good thing? Or
no,
we probably don't know yet.
In fact, weren't we talking about this with somebody earlier, like that day, asking us if we thought the Adventurers Club was going to be closing? And I said, "Oh yeah, it'll be closing."
Yeah.
And then we got
8 hours later.
That's so funny. We got home and there were the posts and messages.
Right.
You know, it's funny. Nobody would care if the Adventurers Club and Comedy Warehouse were to remain from all this.
Yeah. I would even venture to say that if Adventurers Club were remaining, pretty much no one would care.
Yeah, it's very. It was a very interesting decision the way the whole thing came down too. It was just late at night on a Friday.
Yeah.
Then with a press conference on Saturday, it was just the whole thing just.
It feels very, very rushed.
What's
weird is that they opened the island 2 hours late so that they could have a meeting with all the cast members and letting them know they're going to be redeployed or what have you. And that's just sort of unheard of. It's just, if you were – could you imagine being there that day and finding out for no apparent reason everything's opening 2 hours later, and then finally when it opens, everyone's kind of on a downer?
Well, that must have been a weird environment.
Somebody warehouse was happening.
That must have been a weird environment. I heard the place was hopping, and that's the one thing I'm expecting. You remember when Electrical Parade, you could, show up, 10 minutes before parade time and have a decent spot, and then they announced, Goofy's going to pull the plug, and, oh, no, everybody and their mother came to see it.
I hope they're selling, a special ticketed event for the last day, because they could make a lot of money off of that.
They really could. That's just so funny, because now I think the numbers are going to – I bet if the numbers were dropping in certain places, I bet the numbers will pick back up a bit over the next few months as people say farewell.
The Adventurers Club itself is going to be a madhouse, because mm-hmm. I was only there on last Saturday night. I was there because, it's going to be closing soon. And, the place was never empty. I think Adventures Club specifically was always pretty well business-wise. So it just seems very random this is happening.
I talked to Kevin Lansbury, who is the
Vice President of Downtown Disney.
And he said, I interviewed him today, it should be on the website soon. He said, very specifically, I asked him, you're keeping Raglan Road open, you're keeping the cigar place open. Why the decision to close the Adventurers Club and Comedy Warehouse? Why not keep those open as well? And he said those two locations in particular are locations that they want to use for dining. That guests, there are more and more complaints that there's about the waits for dining. I know that's an issue in general, trying to get places in Disney World with the dining plan and all that, especially an issue at Downtown Disney. If you've been there on a Friday or Saturday night, it can be tough to find a place to eat without an hour wait.
McDonald's.
So he mentioned those two places specifically as places they wanted to use for dining, and that's why I'm guessing, even though maybe they are busy and maybe they could even fit in with the new scheme that they're working on,
that doesn't really sound like much of a better excuse.
No matter how many people are in there, it can make more money per square foot as a restaurant.
Yeah, however, you look at the business side, it makes sense. When you look at the fact of what's the word I'm thinking of? What sort of things you have on Disney property?
Right.
What sort of resources you've got? Adventures Club is very unique. It's the only thing like it in the world. And so the fact that once you remove that, you're already reducing the rarity, and now you're replacing, it's a restaurant.
Well,
okay,
exactly.
Sure, you need a restaurant. And sure, people won't like restaurants, but you're just removing your charm.
I agree that I hope – I could care less about them getting rid of Adventures Club and Comedy Warehouse. In fact, I'd probably almost encourage it. I think it's the right thing to do with where Walt Disney World is right now, because with the expanded park hours, you don't need that kind of destination nighttime entertainment like you used to in 1989.
For your outside guests.
For your outside guests, not for your locals.
Yeah.
And, because you have parks that are open until 4 a.m. in the morning these days. But I hope what the shopping and dining isn't just something I can get at a mall. I hope it's something very specific, very special, and that's going to be the key.
And that's
what kind of establishments are going in there, not just something that they could go get another Cheesecake Factory, which would be ironic.
But the sad thing to me though is that Adventurers Club was something that was unique, as the captain pointed out. It was something unique here to Walt Disney World, and I hope that if they can keep that type of experience available at the new location.
Well, there has been the rumor of with the whole Night Kingdom thing.
Right,
get a new Adventures Club, but I don't think that would necessarily be.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Just myself.
Though?
What?
Why don't they just turn Adventures Club into a restaurant?
I don't know.
Because it definitely has the environment's awesome. I the content might be a little bit questionable.
Right.
But the environment is definitely awesome. So I could see that being a neat restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see if the fan base and the outpouring as far as the Adventurers Club. I know it's not going to have necessarily any impact on the Adventurers Club closing because of what they, you know, because of what you've heard. Mm-hmm. The need to turn that place and the reality of what Fanboy is saying, that it's more valuable per square foot. But it makes me wonder, once they see the interest and they see the level of demand for it continue,
right,
and the passion for it, if maybe they won't reevaluate if they weren't thinking of keeping a Disney branded entertainment type. Because the one thing that I hadn't heard before, but you heard it today in your interview, was that there would be retail, dining, and entertainment. And I hadn't heard much beyond retail and dining, mm-hmm, before with the changes coming to Pleasure Island. And I was kind of saddened to think that it was going to be lost, because currently it's much more of an entertainment district than it is anything else.
Definitely.
But now it sounds like they're shifting that, and I'm glad they're not just totally abolishing that.
One thing that Doobie and I noticed when we went to Downtown Disney yesterday is they had, musicians playing, which I don't remember. They do in California, but I don't remember seeing here on a regular basis. And also, Push the Talking Trash Can relative. It wasn't Push, but it was a Talking Trash Can.
Yeah,
a recycled can, actually.
Pool or something.
Yeah. And number three or something like that.
Recycle, please.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a 4th of July weekend thing.
Right.
Or if that's just them trying to – I mean, that's one thing West Side was missing, is there was a nighttime shopping, dining, entertainment district that didn't have a lot of entertainment besides the movie theater and Cirque du Soleil. There was just – it lacked that piece of it there. You had the energy of PI. You had the DJ and all that stuff. You have – the marketplace has the, you know, the fairs, the – merry-go-round and the choo-choo and the dock, mm-hmm, stage. West Side didn't really have – it lacked energy, which was stupid because it is loud and obnoxious, but it didn't have any energy. So I wonder if that's a conscious change, that they understand the value of having entertainment there.
I hope so. Kevin Lansbury definitely said that there would be third-party vendors and Disney both together in whatever is coming. A lot of the rumors that have been going around have been the major impetus for this move was – so Disney did not have to operate places so that Disney could move back further away from operation and just basically lease the space to third-party vendors. That doesn't mean they're totally hands-off. No one comes into a Disney location and just builds whatever they want. I mean, don't go crazy. But that Disney wanted to get out of the operation and basically just lease the space. So I think it will be very telling what actually does occur.
You know, Kevin Lansbury's first job and first office was where McDonald's is now, and he was in charge of dealing with third-party alliances and things like that. So, I'm not saying that means he's committed to it 100%, and that's just the whole focus of his career. But
how long has he been VP of DTD?
Not too long, about a year.
Like, maybe they brought him on to do this?
I don't know. He was the VP of finance at Disneyland prior to this, and then he came over when Dwayne Rivers went over to the new development group, and he's now named head of Disney's Grand Hawaiian Resort.
I think it's always a difficult thing when Disney announces they're closing something that is beloved and they don't offer what's coming.
Yeah.
I think that's the big problem.
Because you're, in essence, killing off something that was loved, and you're not giving the fan base anything to get hyped about. So instead, it just becomes fodder for any concern to just kind of develop.
And I'm torn on that issue, though, because they could have... It's not closing until the end of September, and the new fiscal year starts September 28th. And so it's a natural day for that to stop. I don't know that they know exactly what's going there, so it's hard for them to announce. They could have waited longer to announce it, but then they wouldn't have been able to tell their cast what's going on. And that's,
considering the economic climate.
And you want – I mean, while none of them will be completely unemployed –
There's
plenty of jobs.
Come on. Yeah. I mean, as much as I care about the cast, and I do, the company, we're talking, I don't know, a few hundred, maybe a couple thousand people. The company, I would think their priority needs to be on the company, knowing that they'll take care of the cast when the time comes.
But no, but I think because the people that are really upset about this and are heartbroken are not general guests, you know, because they did announce a new vision's coming, and I think most people around the country, they're okay with that. Your diehard fans, I don't know that they're more important than your cast. Because I think a lot of the diehard fans that are vocal are your cast.
So where do you come down on it?
I wish they just planned it better. I wish that they had, as at this date, they knew what was going there. So they could say, we're closing, but here's what we're building. You guys, here's where you're going. And ta-da. I've been around Disney a long time to see when things close, whether it's just an attraction or something, and you have to understand that your cast is a very important marketing force, and therefore you need to take care of them ahead sometimes of the fan community, not just generally all your guests, but you know the hundred people that are signing these hundreds of people that are signing these petitions online, which is not exactly I'm going to sign a petition online. I think you need to make sure that you have the right balance there.
That's fair.
The interesting thing to me also with this is that Pleasure Island is a locals-driven thing, and right now getting people to drive more, you know, is a challenge because of the way gas prices are. And so you've got the poor Harley-Davidson shop, Curl, and Raglan Road, who I wonder what the impact will be for them as the headlines everywhere, Pleasure Island closing.
Yeah, it can't be.
I mean, there wasn't any kind of different, you know, there wasn't a lot of differentiation, so... Mm-hmm. So you wonder how it will affect – will it kick up? You know, because sometimes they would say, you know, closing in September. Sometimes they would just say closing. And if you didn't bother to listen to the news report here locally, you may have thought, you know, it's already gone. But so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I think they'll do okay. I think whatever's offset by that will be
will be offset by what I was – the MSEP phenomenon.
Right.
Time
yeah, exactly. And I think also – I mean, one thing it posed to Doobie earlier was, do you think – because Pleasure Island predates by many years Downtown Disney, when they say Pleasure Island closing, do people just presume Downtown Disney is closing?
How many people know the difference?
Right. But – and I think what will be interesting to see is on September 27th, what do we know Downtown Disney is going to look like?
Given what you know now and your ability to speculate, do you think – you know, everything closes on September 27th. Do you think there's a chance that not much happens for quite a while? I mean, we know one place that's coming, but do you think this could just be kind of a bit of a weird
sings.
Spot at Disney World?
We are reimagining this location.
Well, and one thing that's odd to me is I understand the fiscal year's in October, but usually when you're building shopping, you want it to be open in November,
Christmas.
And that probably won't be happening. The salvage alone might take some time, but I think. It will be odd for a period, but I think Pleasure Island just 2 years ago, wasn't it? 1 year ago, had that all that construction work done, and it was a little bit of an odd place. So,
well, it's also odd if you think about it in that they did try to do all that construction and everything, and just to close it that soon is kind of funny.
That was
kind of funny business.
I asked that to Kevin Lansbury if there was any relationship between that work and this, and he simply said no.
My view of if it's successful, if this was a good idea or not, will be when the Pageant of the Masters happens, or Festival of the Masters happens in November, will that space feel vital? I mean, you can have closed work and construction and still have energy, you know, entertainment or what have you. So I don't know. I would hope that they compensate. And Disney generally does. When they close something, when they were rehabbing downtown the World of Disney, they would have like an auxiliary World of Disney too and stuff like that.
It's a great opportunity for them to use those photorealistic tarps as well.
And I'm also just kind of wondering if this is almost an attempt to separate itself from Universal Studios more.
I worry more about what's coming, making it more like Universal Studios or CityWalk. Because what's there now are clubs and Disney. Universal CityWalk doesn't have that many clubs, and it's all outside vendors. I'm more worried that what comes next will be
more like,
you know, Bubblegump and Margaritaville and, you know.
And that's what
I'll be happy
that's
if there's
I
a Johnny
want.
Rockets, though.
That's fair.
I don't mind a Johnny Rockets.
And I don't want just stuff I can get at any major outdoor mall. I want something different. You know, a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is a great example of what I – not necessarily on Pleasure Island, but what I think
– We know how much you like that, Fanboy.
Well, yeah. Got my cool dude makeover. No, I think that, you know, maybe something that doesn't – a destination retail space that might not just be
– like a Virgin megastore.
Which, you know, is another – we keep hearing these rumors about Virgin closing and Disney Quest closing.
Yep.
I hope that they open something in Pleasure Island before Virgin megastore and Disney Quest close. I mean, not that I know that Disney Quest or Virgin is closing for sure, but those are the rumors.
It'll pretty much be – the only reason to go to that side of Downtown Disney will be to see a movie.
Which is pretty much the only reason to go
there. Or a concert.
Or La Nuba. Let's not forget the French. Oui, oui.
Oh, yeah, La Nuba.
And speaking of Canadians, actually.
And speaking of the French Canadians.
It'd be great if they had a new show to launch with the Pleasure Island changeover.
Maybe O or Zooropa.
No. Not for Disney World.
Speaking of the French Canadians, as we just were, it's Independence Day for us here in America.
Okay.
And let's celebrate Disney and Americana.
America.
Because, you know, you can't have one without the other. Well, I guess you could before 1901, but you know where I'm going with this.
Disney?
Or, you had Americana without Disney.
Oh, I was going to say, what about, like, Hong Kong Disneyland?
It celebrates America and Hong Kong.
Oh.
Walt Disney once said, "Actually, if you could see close in my eyes, the American flag is waving in both of them, and up my spine is growing this red, white, and blue stripe."
Fanboy, if you could pick one thing in the world of Disney, whether it be a film or an attraction or whatever, that really, I don't know, makes you tear up, makes you soar with pride at being American or whatever, that just brings home the Americana in Disney to you, what would it be?
America Sings.
Yay!
Pop goes the weasel.
You actually have seen that show?
Yes.
I thought you were too young for that.
Nope. I remember being really sad when I saw the sign, "This is their imaginary brand new attraction." And then I remember being really even more sad 10 years later when I saw a sign that says we're imagining a brand new attraction.
That's a good. Would that be yours as well, Rebecca?
I loved America Sings, but I also loved America the Beautiful, the Circle Vision film.
The 60s version or the 80s version?
I'm not choosy.
Okay. 80s version was American Journeys.
Oh, good point.
But I'm not choosy. I enjoyed them both. I mean, honestly, at the time when I was little, I hated it because I had to stand. I thought it was stupid that I had to wait for an attraction where I had to stand. But
you could sit while waiting.
Yeah, and then when I got
on the lean rails.
And then when I it's not designed to support my weight.
Or the weight.
Even though I was like 49 pounds. but I my dad loved those, and I think because of that, I love them too. And I can remember driving around parts of this country to find settings like what we had seen in America the Beautiful, and I just thought that Disney did such a good job of kind of, I don't know, sparking in my family a desire for travel and to go explore the country, and I love that, and I love the diversity of America, and I think that film really did a nice job of kind of showcasing the variety of nations within our nation.
Can I just point out that both of these attractions are in Tomorrowland?
Yes, they are.
Hey,
making it used to be my favorite land. You had that and Adventures Through Inner Space.
What says America plus Disney to you, CJ?
Benjamin Franklin walking upstairs.
Wow, that's a good one.
That's what I say. American adventure for me.
How about America on Parade?
Is that the one with the big head?
Yes.
I've never seen that.
I never saw the parade, but my parents bought me the book. It was It had big pull-out photos where you could see the float and everything. It was very cool.
The big heads.
Big head.
It was kind of creepy, I have to admit.
George Lopez. It was his first Disney gig, wasn't it?
And my dad always made us do great moments with Mr. Lincoln.
You know, it's actually a very odd, it kind of makes you feel Americana, that's not actually directly Americana? The Great Movie Ride.
Oh, I can see that.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Especially the Tarzan segment.
As Fanboy does his Gordy Weaver impersonation over here.
Who was in WALL-E, by the way?
Yes, that was very clever.
Mine was going to be America Journeys. What the heck's it called?
What are you talking Adventure? About?
American Adventure.
American Adventure.
Mine was going to be American Adventure as well. That one still gets to me.
Not the Hall of Presidents, anybody.
But another one.
No, I do not. No, I remember. I loved Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln when I was little. We used to go. Okay, when I got a little bit older, when I was really little, I used to hate the fact that my dad would drag us. But when I got a little bit older, you know, I appreciated it. But then we came here and we went to Hall of Presidents, and I was like, eh. It's just a bunch of presidents standing around doing nothing.
Yeah, I like the classic Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, too.
Yeah.
Like when they added the headphones and stuff.
Another one that does it for me. I'm not sure why, but for some reason, whenever I'm on it.
Not say the Grand Canyon.
No. Okay. Whenever I'm on it, I just get this feeling like, I don't know, I feel very American all of a sudden. Is when I write Splash Mountain at Disneyland?
Oh, because America Sings. Oh, that's cute.
Uh-huh.
That's cute.
What about the railroad? That's kind of American. And you go by the Native Americans and everything.
No, they're not really Americans. You're right. They were here before us.
what about Soarin'? Does that make anyone?
It's
salute to all
California.
Of America, but mostly California.
Yeah, so California. I don't think Golden Dreams fit into that category either. Yeah. Exactly.
Any movies come to mind?
Disney films?
Yeah.
Toby Tyler.
Toby Tyler?
Yeah, because they drag out that calliope every 4th of July at the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, okay. But yeah, Johnny Tremaine.
John Henry?
Summer Magic.
Oh, that's another one that's kind of Pollyanna with its little 4th of July picnic.
Hello, Dolly.
That's not a Disney film.
I bet it was in WALL-E.
It's not a Disney film.
The American parts in Melody Time.
Oh, yeah. Pecos Bill, The Tall
Johnny
Tales.
Johnny Appleseed.
There are a lot of movies I haven't seen.
Ben and Me, I love.
Oh, I love Ben and Me.
Ben and Me is the story of Benjamin Franklin and his little mouse friend. And the little mouse actually is the one who is doing all the inventing that Benjamin Franklin gets all the credit for. It's an adorable story. That's not a Disney movie, even though it appeared on the Disney Channel a bazillion times.
But my actual favorite.
Oh, and of course, Davy Crockett is very Americana.
Oh, that's a good one.
Tennessee.
The Scarecrow of Romney Marsh.
In the Land of the Free.
My favorite.
Swamp Fox.
Disney.
Tail on his cap.
Independence Day Americana thing is this little thing called A Concert in the Sky.
That's
an instant classic.
Oh, Muppet Vision. Hello.
Oh, that's right.
It's a salute to all nations, but mostly America.
4th of July Concert in the Sky is performing July 3rd and July 4th.
On both coasts.
On both coasts. Woo-hoo. And hopefully next year as well, because this is
a
show
really good.
You need to see. This is awesome, right, Rebecca?
It's really good.
It's awesome. It's not just awesome.
It's awesome.
It's New York awesome. Yeah.
It's Long Island awesome. It's really great. It's really great.
So if you have the chance this year, next year.
We highly recommend it.
This is not Fantasy in the Sky with patriotic finale.
This is
a really, really good show. And if you can't see
it. About 14 minutes long, right?
Yeah, about 12 minutes long, yeah.
Okay.
If you can't. No, it's about 14 minutes, actually.
That's what I thought.
And if you can't see it, laughingplace.com, we've got full video.
Yep.
I think this is the first time we posted a video where people were like ooing the show. Not thanks for the video or it's great to see it again, but just seeing it from our video going, wow, this is an amazing show.
And the guest response was incredible.
Yeah,
there are parts of the audio from the show that you can't hear because the combination of the firework sounds and the crowd just erupting in cheers drown it out. You couldn't hear the narration.
Amazing show.
Unbelievable.
Way to go, Disney. And as much as some of the fans, myself included, like to complain about Disney doing things on both coasts, and I think that's a very valid complaint, this is the type of thing that I think Disney really should be doing on both coasts because obviously, you know, you're not going to go 4th of July the same year both places.
Right.
And it's a great way, I'm presuming, to pull some resources and do more than either park could do on their own. So I really like that they're doing this both.
The other thing is there's just something terribly uniting. I think that's part of the reason why I love July 4th is that no matter where you are in the U.S., chances are you're watching fireworks just like everybody else. Yeah. At some point during the day, it seems all Americans are...
Probably at night, actually.
No, actually, they shoot off fireworks during the day out here in front of our place.
But it's cool. Are they doing this in Paris and Tokyo, too?
Okay, I understand keeping it a U.S. celebration.
Or in the cruise line, because, you know, they are.
That would be awesome. Can you imagine? That would be so much fun.
I hear they repainted their lifeboats red, white, and blue. No, they'll pay the fine.
Oh, dear. But
actually, that's the Bahamas cruise boat, though. It's not.
Oh, that's right.
They celebrate. Insert joke here.
Oh, that would be so. But the fireworks are really very, very well done. It has a narrator who has that booming masculine voice like the narrator for Epcot's Illuminations and just
Jim Cummings.
When you watch it, you really get the sense that the person who created this really understands what it is to be an American.
Francois from Montreal.
Isn't that beautiful? It was created by a French Canadian. I love that. That's beautiful.
Only in America.
It's a beautiful thing. But it was great. There were a lot of cast members. The night we went to see it, there were a lot of cast members watching it, I presume because most of them have to work on July 4th. So go see it now because you're working on the 4th. But they were totally into it. It was great. And it was just adorable. Periodically, the narration would say something like, you know, and here in America, we have a variety of peoples with various dreams or something. And you'd hear some random guy off in the distance go, yeah, USA!
And then someone goes, I want to be a pirate.
No,
I want to be a princess.
No, it was real. It wasn't part of the soundtrack like that is. It was great. And then at the very end, the way the pyro is here at Magic Kingdom, and for those of you who have been to a Halloween party or Christmas party, you know what I'm talking about. They launch it from several locations to where when you're standing in the hub and if you rotate in a circle, they're launching fireworks from just about every spot in your vision, 360. And not just like one shell or two shells. I mean, it was just a continuing barrage of shells.
So this is 360 and not 180?
It was the way that the locations are set up, it truly felt 360 as opposed to 180.
Okay.
Yeah, they really did a good job of making you feel like you were encompassed by fireworks by where they chose to launch these sites, shells from. And when that happened, so many people around us just threw their hands up in the air and were cheering. I mean, it was just really mesmerizing. And the choice to just light up the sky with red and then light up the sky with white and then light up the sky with blue. I mean, and it really was. The whole sky would just transition between the three colors. Was just, I mean, it was, I was amazed.
You really should get it. Oh, you will.
I was just amazed. So I'm looking forward. We're going to go check it out again tonight on the 3rd when we're recording this. Because we'll stay home on the 4th.
It's not the 4th, like Doobie said at the beginning. It's all an illusion.
Because we'll be home on the 4th to protect our poor little dog. Because the people shooting off the fireworks in the neighborhood, it scares him a little too much. And one year when we did leave him, he chewed a hole in the blinds. So we've decided that we should stay home with the poor little guy.
Captain.
Yeah, that's my name. Don't wear it out.
Let's do some trivia, dude.
All right. Well, last time I asked a Toy Story Mania question, which I was fed to by Rebecca because I'm losing my brilliance. And so Magic Made Easy.
What was that?
Tastes like trivia. It was fed to him by Rebecca.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. It's like brilliance is tasty?
No, it tastes more like
Fanta. Chicken.
Fanta chicken. It's like Fanta Sao.
Isn't that a famous dish in the Chinese restaurants? I would like the Fanta chicken. Oh, no, they call it orange chicken, don't they? My bad.
No, it's, never mind.
Okay, they call it the number 4.
Is it spicy? Does it have a little sign next to it?
At any rate, in the Toy Story Mania queue, Magic Made Easy is written on the spines of one of the books. And it's a tribute to the late Joe Rampt, as written by Princess the Destroyer, which is actually ex-Pirate Princess X in Disguise.
You're the pirate princess in disguise.
What you doing in the sky?
It says, I'm using my tribute to Shiva the Destroyer name. Shiva? Okay. Shiva? I have no idea what that's a reference to.
I believe it's pronounced Hiva, the S is silent.
All right.
I could be wrong on that, though.
Yes, you are.
And what else you got for the people today?
All right, well, Wally.
Wally.
Wall-star E.
No,
Wall-star
E.
Wall-shift-8-E. Yeah.
That's hard.
Do you all caps, when you type out Wally, do you all caps with the shift-8, or do you not all caps?
I should, but I don't. I do all caps cars, but not Wally.
But not Wally.
You're supposed to.
I do. But okay, I notice a lot of articles don't, and they don't do the shift-8 either. They do a dash.
I tend to do a dash.
You can do dash. You can do dash.
Dash is acceptable.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I don't like the dash. It's better with the shift-F8.
Okay.
At any rate, you know how John Ratzenberger's in every Pixar film today.
Why? Yes, he is.
Here's a tough one. What is the name of the character he plays?
Ooh.
Oh, rats! I can't remember.
No, he was that in the last.
By the way, you can hear John Ratzenberger and several other actors from the film and the filmmakers and other Disney personalities on LaughingPlace.com. We had the red carpet premiere, and we had some interesting interviews there.
Was it red?
You know that
it wasn't. It was brown, actually.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
Yeah.
The best.
Is it ever red?
The best one is Selena Gomez.
Yeah, she.
You have to go see
what's
Selena.
What's that? A robot? A crazy, funky, junky robot? Overslept? Trash and sightly, trying to look like Keira Knightley. We've been there, we've done that. We see right through your funky robot.
She did not do that, strangely enough.
Aww.
But it was a good interview. Thanks, Doug. We've
got
some mail.
It's very sweet. She's
and
very sweet.
Encompassed in this mail will be the Stump the Crew. So this is from Brent in Internet Land.
Internet Land.
Not from Brent. Isn't there a city called Brent someplace?
Brentwood.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just going nuts.
He writes, "Hey, LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
Q fanboy. I wanted to bring up a few things that you should throw around that you could throw around the table so I can hear what the crew thinks.
Don't throw them literally. I'm kind of slow today. You might hit me.
I don't have my glove.
First, since some of the crew was excited about it and I haven't heard anything mentioned since, who does the crew think the mole is and what are your thoughts on this season so far?
Oh, man, the person I thought was the mole was executed this week.
I'm with Nicole.
I was so bummed.
It's Craig.
You think it's the big guy, right?
Yeah, I think
Craig.
It's the big guy. I think it's Craig.
My first two picks the first 2 weeks were each executed that week, so now I'm gone with Boston Rob. What's his name?
I don't remember his real name.
Paul, right?
Paul.
Oh, yeah, Paul, because he's in the other car.
He also...
who he calls Boston Rob, which just is so insulting. Yeah.
Brent also makes a note to say, note to Doobie, yes, you can watch on ABC.com if you missed it, any of it. Thank you. So far, I'm keeping up, though. For Stump the LPP with Wally...
Oh,
just
so I don't have a new person yet. I didn't pick anybody last week because it wasn't until the end of the episode that I realized that the person I thought was the mole was executed.
It's Boston.
I'm so disappointed.
New York Rob.
Really York thought Paul. It was a blonde chick.
So he asks, he says, Wally just coming out and being such an awesome movie.
It is an awesome movie. It's just an awesome movie you didn't appreciate.
But it's an awesome movie I appreciated, and my opinion is the one that matters.
He asks,
What
does Wall-E and Eve stand for?
Okay. Waste allocation.
Oh, you're going to go.
Yeah, I only know that part. Waste allocation.
Load lifter. Earth class.
Lifter.
Oh, so the A, Wall-E stood for Axiom.
Yes.
Very good.
Cool.
Bravo. Oh, Doobie, you're so smart.
I didn't know what Wally stood for, so I couldn't think of what the A stand for.
Okay.
And Eve?
Extraterrestrial Vegetation Evaluator.
Evaluator. Yeah, that's what it is. Directive.
I am so sure you guys are right. I'm not even going to look it up.
Directive.
Yeah, you better.
All right. I will pause and look it up. All right, we're back. Brent writes, the answer is Wally stands for Waste Allocation Load Lifter Earth Class, and Eve stands for Extra Terrestrial Vegetation Evaluator.
Why isn't it Wallek?
I don't know.
And why isn't it Etv?
Etv.
Elliot. Okay, he goes on to say, thanks, Brent, for that question. For our favorite part of the show, popcorn and churro.
Favorite part of the show? What's your favorite part of the show?
Actually, he writes popcorn of churro. Not sure what that means.
That means typo.
Okay. A follow-up for
they
last week.
They should have churro-flavored popcorn.
Oh, that would just cause...
That would be so confusing.
Wow. That'd be the best of both worlds.
Would you rather have a popcorn-flavored churro or churro-flavored popcorn?
Wow. Churro-flavored popcorn.
I don't know. Popcorn-flavored jelly beans are really good.
Yeah.
Those are the... Oh, man.
No, those are good.
You're wrong.
Anyway,
okay, go ahead.
Popcorn and Churro, he asked, what is the crew more excited for, the new Miley Cyrus album, July 22nd, or Demi Lovato's album, November?
I'm going to go with Miley Cyrus's because I like Seven Things and I like Fly on the Wall.
I have to also go with Miley Cyrus. I'm not a big Demi fan.
Miley Cyrus, because you know how I feel about the other one.
Yeah.
Don't you wish that you could be a fly on Jonas Brothers' wall?
No.
No,
have you heard Demi talking about him? She doesn't think they're all that cute. So she's like, it's really weird because I hang out with them and all these women are like, ah. And she's like, you know, they're nice. They're okay. But, you know, I kind of don't get it. It's just weird. It's funny. It's funny to hear her talk about him. Like, yeah, who cares? No big deal.
I have no answer.
Who cares?
He writes, though, for me, it's Demi. I saw her perform last Sunday and her new music is amazing. Wow.
Awesome.
Brent, you saw her perform? Get out here. Do a sit-in with us. You're our
kind of
guy.
That'd be fun.
Armchair Quickies. With Camp Rock 2 in the works, what does the crew want in the sequel to make it more entertaining for them personally and better than the first? That's easy.
More Jonas Brothers.
Jonas Brothers.
And
more
Trash
Jonas
can.
Brothers. More Jonas Brothers.
No brainer. Also, what about Camp Rocks in the Parks? It is big enough. It deserves to be there. But how should they do it without driving the non-fans crazy like High School Musical does right now? My idea would be to have a Disney Channel rock show in the Hunchback Theater with music from High School Musical, Camp Rock, The Cheetah Girls, Hannah Montana, and other Disney Channel shows all in one.
That would be fun.
I don't think that place is big enough to handle how many people would show up.
Yeah, you got a good point.
That
there.
Would be fun.
You know, maybe like, you know, Fantasmic Arena during the day.
No. If you did like instead of, you know how right now they wheel out that little stage and they do, you know, High School Musical 2.
Right, yeah.
If you did that kind of thing, but with various Disney stuff. So it's like the Disney Channel Cavalcade in essence. You would be fine in that theater. We're not talking about actually bringing Miley.
No, yeah, I know that. It's just that's not exactly a very big theater. To me? Oh, no.
But if you did several shows.
I suppose.
It'd be better than standing outside.
That's a very good point.
What you'd have to do to get in.
Hello.
They need to shade that queue.
You know what they should do?
They really do.
Over in Disneyland, they should take the Princess Fantasy Fair.
Oh, you can't get rid of
it. And, like, bring in a DJ, and maybe after five have people come in and just dance to Disney Channel music.
What should they call it?
Maybe, like, a Videopolis kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think
maybe
that
they
could
show videos up on big screens overhead.
I think that could work.
Wow.
Remember Videopolis
East? Interesting.
No.
No.
That was where 8-Tracks is. Before, it was The Cage. It was Videopolis East, and it was a under 21 club.
Oh,
but they had
funny.
Some unfortunate gang activity.
Oh, that's too bad.
So they closed it and turned it into an over 21 club, The Cage.
And finally, he writes, Armchair for Pleasure Island. As sad as it is to see the clubs close down, there is always hope with something like this. For one, as far as I can tell, it really doesn't mention Adventures Club is closing, so I can see the Night Park ball rolling like we thought. Referring to Yeah, you know
Night
what he's
Kingdom.
Referring to. Right, and it's Adventurer's Club part. I think it has potential to be something great, as long as it doesn't feel like Adventureland 2.0. The Adventurer's Club would make a great welcome to some crazy adventures. This could be Disney's answer to fighting the power of Harry Potter at Universal Studios or Discovery Cove at SeaWorld and bringing something that is away from the parks that brings an experience only Disney can bring us. So bring on Beastly Night Adventure Island, presented in part by Pixar and Haynes. Love that name. Don't you just feel it rolls right off your tongue?
I love that name. That's awesome.
I'm just going to be blunt and say, unless Disney somehow gets Harry Potter, there's no fighting Harry Potter. It's just not possible.
Yeah, I think it's going to be
Maybe
so
they could
lame.
Get Dumbledore. I don't know. Who's Harry Potter's enemy? I
have no idea. That would be Voldemort. Or he who must not be named. Because, you know, we're offending
Voldemort.
Some of our...
Voldemort.
I hate
Voldemort.
Harry Potter. now that Universal's building it. Yeah.
Keep up the fantastic work, and if I ever see the crew at the parks, we will hit up a ride together, and I'll buy you each a Dole Whip.
Woo!
Three, two, one.
My new best friend.
Woo-hoo!
Do you have
we
Dole
love
Whips here?
Dole Whips. Yes, honey, we just had one not too long ago.
Yeah,
over there. Adventureland.
Fanboy, you have a special theme song today.
Out there, there's a world outside of Yonkers. Way out there beyond this hick town, Barnaby. There's a slick town, Barnaby. Out there.
You're not singing.
Shine and full of sparkle.
I hate this man.
Close your eyes.
Can you
and
hate
see
this
listen,
man?
Barnaby.
Condor Man. How can you
okay.
have anything
Okay, have
like
we talked about this yet
man.
On the podcast?
He's been one of the greatest Disney albums ever.
No, he put out the worst Disney album ever, and not only was it bad, it was sacrilege. He put himself in the picture of where Walt Disney was. You know the picture of Walt Disney standing in the doorway and then the shadow is of Mickey Mouse?
Yes.
He put himself where Walt Disney was.
I don't think he did. Somebody put him there.
His people put his picture there, and then he was the shadow of Mickey Mouse. No, sir, you are in Mickey Mouse's shadow. You, sir, are no Walt Disney. I knew Walt Disney. Walt Disney was a friend of mine, and you, sir, are no Walt Disney.
Good day, sir.
Thank you, Lloyd.
You lose.
I'm not sure if that was the senator or Willy Wonka. I'm a little torn.
No, I know that Michael Crawford apparently is the weakest link. Goodbye.
There's one song off that album I think we've banned from our radio station.
Who is that man?
I think we don't play Reflection on our radio.
You know what you do need to play on your radio station? An LP exclusive. Dubby and Fanboy singing. Or do you see?
No, we like to have people actually listen.
Fanboy, we will record that and we will insert it as like a station ID.
Oh,
that's a great idea.
Dear me. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I just put me in a bad mood. Disney myth. The ticket booths for Pleasure Island are not former Fort Wilderness Railroad cars.
Really?
No, they were originally. And then they changed them out as they needed bigger ones. And they are created in the style of the Fort Wilderness Railroad cars, but they are not the Fort Wilderness Railroad cars.
But the original ones were Fort Wilderness Railroad cars.
Yes.
So that's where the confusion is.
Interesting.
Much like the original hearse in front of the Haunted Mansion was Brigham Young's, not the one. No, I'm kidding.
And that ring at Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
And the spike is the center of Disneyland.
No, it's not. And Michael Crawford has no business putting on a Disney album.
But he was in a Disney movie.
Yes,
Condor Man.
You know why people know Condor Man is back in the 80s. They used to put, like, at the end of the Disney movie, they would show you other titles available from Disney home video. And Condor Man would be in it. And all the kids would go, what's that stupid-looking movie? And that's the only reason why Condor Man is still in the American consciousness.
It's not a stupid movie.
Yes, it is, because Michael Crawford's in it.
Wow.
Got one more piece of reader mail. I still want a reader mail song.
This is the reader mail song. Marching along, it is reader mail.
Tyrone
singing the song of reader mail.
Guys, love the podcast, although after listening to this, you may have changed your mind. I listened to them a good few weeks to a few months after they air. So this is in reference to a comment that was made a while ago, but when's a good time to bring... Oh, I'm sorry, about when's a good time to bring children for the first time. We brought my son when he was 2 years old, and the reason we brought him was because he was a huge Barney fan, and Universal has Barney. While in Orlando, we took him over to the Magic Kingdom and everything else. He had a great time, but doesn't really remember it. That's fine, because we have pictures. My point is that, in my opinion, you take the child when, number one, there's something there he can relate to, and second, when you can be confident that big characters won't freak them out. As for remembering it, I got stuff I did in my 20s I don't remember. That doesn't mean it wasn't fun. That's why they make cameras. Again, love the podcast, but could you try to better explain some of the abbreviations and references you make? I don't have the time to go to the forums that much, and every now and again, I get lost. So great work and thanks. Hey, Tyrone, let me say, anytime we reference something that you don't catch, just drop an email to podcast@laughingplace.com, and I'll send you one back, and that way I'll know what some of the references are that people aren't getting so that I can help clarify them in the future and kind of figure out what it is that people are missing.
We don't expect everyone to get all of our references by any stretch of the imagination.
I don't even get all their references.
Actually, after the show, we have a little postmortem and we explain our references to each other.
Oh, yes.
It gets a little insane.
Oh, these two exist in the world all their own, that's for sure.
In a world
of... So bringing children... You know, he makes a great point. It's not only about what the kids kind of enjoy. As long as the kid, you know, doesn't get harmed or anything, if the parents have a great time and you make memories, that's a good enough reason to come.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I never really thought about that.
We brought my siblings. I can remember going to the parks with my siblings when they were really, really young. And, I mean, you have to be prepared to not have the same kind of trip that you've had in the future if you've been... as you've had the past.
Thank you, Doc Brown.
As you've had the past. Because now you just have to be prepared to have a different kind of trip than perhaps you have in the past. Because your pacing will be different. And, you know, you're going to have to take breaks at different times. And, you know, you have to think about those things. And as long as they aren't upsetting to the rest of the world, go for it. That's my thing. There's a thread on the discussion boards right now where people are sharing their memories of taking their kids at a young age. And they're fun to read.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have no doubt that if I have a child, my child's first trip to a Disney park will be within the first... If it lasts a month, I'll be surprised.
But don't bring your child to a screening of The Incredible Hulk if it's going to start crying throughout the entire film. Just a thought.
Now... 2 points. One, wasn't that annoying? And two, the father took the child out.
Oh, good point. Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, this was like the movie had been out forever. No, see, I think that going to a showing, once the film's been out that long, I think it's okay.
No, it's not.
Do you know what's more annoying, though? When I saw National Treasure, there were... I think like 3 crickets in the auditorium.
Oh no! It would be refund time.
No, that's not good.
Oh man,
I cannot take
refund
crickets.
Or suicide. One of the
other. Bad boy can tell you, I cannot take the sound of a cricket. So, I will go mad.
So there you have it.
But oh dear.
I'm with Rebecca on this one. The baby. I mean.
By the way, talking about babies, I was really surprised at how well behaved all the kids were in WALL-E. I don't know if you had the same thing at your showing, Captain.
Same thing, yeah.
But they were all very quiet, which
They were in trance.
There's a difference between WALL-E and The Incredible Hulk.
Well, no, I realize that. But I was just, given that WALL-E was not an incredibly quick-paced film, but not a lot of dialogue, I was just surprised.
There was, however, one family who, superficially, I had some things in common with that walked out of the theater.
And we saw two families walk out. There was another family that walked out.
So... I'm not alone. Or maybe they had actually come in late in the first one and now they were just catching up.
Maybe their real show was starting.
People don't movie hop, do they?
I don't.
No, we did once.
Well, smart people.
But we left the movie. We didn't finish the movie. And frankly, we should have got a refund and a free movie for sitting through as much as we did of that thing. All right, where are we in the show? We're in the show. You mentioned The Incredible Hulk a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, because we didn't realize Hancock was out, we saw The Incredible. We left the movie. We went to get your food. We're walking back to our car, and I'm looking at the marquee.
We started talking about, like, oh, so next is Hancock. When do you want to see it? And Doobie looks at the marquee and says, why is Hancock on the board?
Oh, are you guys serious? Oh, that's right.
It comes out on Wednesday.
So sad.
Duh.
Oh, so. Poor guys.
But that's okay. We got to see The Incredible Hulk, which probably, you know, we'll be leaving theater.
Right.
This was our last chance. And 50 words or fewer or more if needed.
Just say something.
The cameos were very good.
How do you know?
I watched it on YouTube.
Okay.
The Lou Ferrigno as the security guard was awesome. Stan Lee, awesome. And they even managed to work in
Bill Bixby. Which was very clever.
And better than the first Hulk. I'm not a big Hulk guy. I mean, in many ways. But I liked it better than the Eric Bana movie.
I saw the Eric Bana movie, and this felt a lot like a sequel. So the whole time I'm waiting for it to get heavy and deep like the original one, and it never did. That said, it was a fun action romp, a thrill a minute. What a popcorn movie. You'll love it. Go see it now and forget about it the next day like I did.
Not as good as Iron Man.
That's what cameras are for.
Not as good as Iron Man, but Iron Man was in it, which was a little trippy.
It was nowhere near it. It just, I think, the fact that that was an enjoyable movie, yet nowhere near as good as Iron Man, it goes more to the point of Iron Man. That was one heck of a superhero movie.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how the second Batman compares. I know they're very different, but Iron Man was so good. The first Batman was really good, and this one's getting rave reviews, so I'm looking forward to making that comparison.
And, what's that other? And you know which movie I can't care?
By the way, Hancock is not a superhero movie.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
What is Hancock?
A superhero.
Thank you. Enough said. Moving on.
You're looking at me like I'm supposed to say something.
Oh, well, that's all we got for today. You can email us at podcast@laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408, or leave a message on the podcast section of the message boards. But before we close, I'd like to go around the table and get any last words.
All right.
Captain John?
All right. Bravo.
Thank you.
Okay, so I saw the movie, WALL-E.
You sounded like a flight attendant.
And so,
shocking, I know.
And so I go back, you know.
I said, you sound like a flight attendant during
that. And so I was curious about the video game, so I downloaded the demo. Worst demo I have ever played a video game.
By the way, I heard the game's not that good either.
If the demo's bad, one would hope the game is bad, but you never know.
Commentary. This is the next to last Pixar movie that's going to have THQ as a video game.
I am very glad.
It's going to now be Toy Story 3 and on, hopefully, will be developed internally at Disney Interactive Studios.
I hope that improves it because, you know, what they have for the game itself, like the kind of ideas that they had, are okay. It's the fact that the controls are impossible. And you die everywhere. It was actually really sad. Like in the level in question, I'm supposed to be chasing after Eve on the Axiom. And so if you make one wrong move, you pretty much like die instantly. And you like see like this really sad animation of how you died. So it's like you see like you go like there was this one place I'm not supposed to go on there, and somehow I wound up on there, and like I get electrocuted, and you see like a little animation of like WALL-E dying.
That's tragic.
It's really sad. And then I fell down a pit, and then you see the WALL-E going wee. You know, down the tube.
Oh, I think he was going, WALL-E!
and to add to that, if I go too slow, Eve gets away, and so you lost sight of Eve, and then you just see WALL-E going, Eva! And it's just really sad. It's such a depressing game.
Yeah, not so different from the movie.
Rebecca?
I don't really have that much to say this week. I've been tired.
Well, at least you didn't play the WALL-E game.
No, that's true. I'm trying to think. Did I do anything fun this week? I went to the
parks
a couple of times, saw the fireworks. It's like so many times we get to this wrap-up, it's like I talked about everything already. It was like the topics of conversation.
How do you feel about Middlemen?
I like Middlemen. That's a fun show. In fact, we have one on DVR we have to watch, huh?
See.
Cool.
Fanboy? Speaking of ABC Family, I find it very interesting to celebrate Independence Day. They're having a special marathon of Harry Potter movies.
Oh, yes. You know, when we think of Independence Day, we think of British movies.
Which is why another reason I hate Harry Potter. We won that war, I believe. Right?
I don't know. There are allies,
I didn't know there was a movie war against American films and British
I'm
films.
Allowed to hate British people one day of the year.
There was. There was Chronicles of Narnia versus Harry Potter, and Harry Potter trumps them.
But because Chronicles of Narnia is British, too.
Disney versus... Never mind. Go on, fanboy.
So, in any case, I'm... I won't be watching ABC Family this holiday weekend. Instead, I'm going to be watching Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen on ABC.
Again.
I hate that movie.
Again. Hey, did you hear, Rebecca? Park Map goes high-tech. SeaWorld Orlando is experimenting with handheld interactive Park Map devices that combine video background on its attractions with global positioning technology. Your use for today in English, Spanish, or Portuguese for $18.25.
Why, yes, I did. I emailed you that article.
That is cool.
Doesn't that sound cool?
Now, I know Disney has done some tests with stuff like this, but this is out. This is rolled out. This is to go. This is ready.
I know.
And SeaWorld won.
We need to go and try it.
You know, when I think of SeaWorld, I think of, you know, the sea, right?
Right.
Okay, electronic device.
They are not permitted in the splash zone. Okay. One would hope. I wonder if they thought of that.
I'm just saying. You know, first it's balloons and Florida weather.
I hope they're weather.
Now it's electronic devices out of water-based.
I hope they're waterproof, considering it is Florida, and it might rain every once in a while.
That's also a very good point.
What else did you do this week, Doobie?
I just wanted to mention, first of all, it does say this is a test as well, but they're charging for it and anyone can do it, so it's a wider test than Disney's done. And Disney does a lot of stuff like this. I didn't know other parks were really going into it. I mean, the other parks don't even have anything really like FastPass yet, so it's good to see Disney being pushed on the tech front as well, because I know it'll only make Disney do more stuff, and that's good for everyone. What did you say, Fanboy?
What else did you do this week, Jimmy?
Oh, well, if you change your mind, I'll be first in line.
You guys went to see
I'm still free.
Bjorn again.
Take a chance.
I was supposed to go with you, but I was under the weather.
If you
so instead, Doobie and Fanboy went to
ABBA
cover band.
Doobie and Fanboy and an empty seat between us went to see ABBA.
I was so bummed I was not feeling well.
Which was their premiere performance at Sounds Like Summer. And they were cool. They were a lot like last year.
Yeah.
It wasn't ABBA. It was Bjorn again. I said ABBA. That's
yeah, dumb. I know.
It's a cover
Bjorn
band.
Again.
If it was ABBA, that would be really impressive.
It was cool. And I have something to aspire to. I hope to one day be able to sit in the front row and do all the dance moves as well.
That's right. You saw some creepies there.
Does this mean you're going to see Mamma Mia when it goes to theaters?
I'm actually looking forward to Mamma Mia.
All right.
Once again, if I see it with Fanboy, there will be an NPC between us, but I am looking forward to it.
What else comes out that weekend? There's some like really good movie that comes out.
Are there any other Sounds Like Summer concerts you're looking forward to?
I was looking forward to you, but that's gone already. So I don't think so. I don't think there's any more that I really need to see. Let me check real quick. Let's see. Still to Come I would enjoy this. Slippery When Wet, a tribute to Bon Jovi.
That's the one I want to see.
I'd enjoy that. 52nd Street, a tribute to Billy Joel. I'd probably enjoy about half of that. Captain Fantastic, a tribute to Elton John. I bet that's a fun show. It's not. I don't like too much of his music, but I bet it's a fun show. And it'd be interesting to see if they do Circle of Life.
and
Candy to the Left Tonight. That would be interesting to see.
And all the entire soundtrack to Aida.
And then the final act this year is the Sounds of the Supremes, a tribute to the Supremes. Strangely enough. And all the rest have these clever names, Hotel California for the Eagles, Stayin' Alive for the Bee Gees, and the Sounds of the Supremes.
I really thought it was the Temptations.
I'm surprised that they have... What was the name of the group that always performed at Disneyland?
The Zippers?
The Fab Four?
Oh, yeah. I think the Fab Four are actually bigger than Sounds of Summer. They're a very popular band. Yeah, I guess we will be back.
Oh, you know what? One thing I could talk about that we didn't mention on the podcast are the guys who recreated Disney's Epcot in their backyard in Minnesota.
That's right. Go for it.
Wow, that sounds impressive.
That was really interesting. Last year, they invested in some advanced controllers and put up some commercial fireworks and lights and synced it to the music that plays at Illuminations. And they had about 70 people show up on July 4th to watch it. And they were happy with the way it went. So this year, they've quadrupled the show. Well over 100 sets of lights, some palm trees, and some other things. And they've also recreated some of the other, like, attractions and elements of Epcot. Like, they have a little Mexican village with bold colors and the food there. And they have a Club Cool with various varieties of soda.
Ooh, Beverly.
And they
that was
also...
That's going to be my joke when you were done.
And they recreated Soarin', and the quote that they have from one of the two gentlemen who created this, "Soarin' is my favorite ride period. It recaptured the kind of wonderment that was losing steam at Disney, and now we've recreated it in a pole barn." And apparently, according to this little press release, the folks who have been on Soarin' are the ones that are most impressed with the ride recreation. One rider says, "It feels like you're being whisked right up into that Omni-like theater with the same force of wonder hitting you and all the side effects to boot. My feet were dangling over canyons, stampeding buffalo, and a waterfall like I've never seen before. The music was incredible. You truly have to see the details that the guys threw into this thing." It's not the same video that plays, you know, as Soarin'. It's not like they just went and filmed Soarin'. They use other sequences and whatnot to recreate it. But it sounds like a really neat idea. So if you want to learn more about this little, they're calling it Minicot in Minnesota, visit DreamersEmpire.com and find out what they're working on. But neat little idea.
I agree.
Sounds like fun in the backyard. What can I say?
You can say it sounds like a...
But the way the press release starts is very cute. Skipping that next Disney vacation due to rising airfare and a tighter economy? Well, that isn't stopping a couple of Minnesota brothers who decided to beat the gas crisis and build Disney in their own backyard.
Their names are Phineas and Ferb.
That's clever.
It's very cute.
Podcast.labplace.com. 866-789-408. Post a message on section 171 of the discussion boards. And until next week, Kungaloosh.